Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Where's the Opportunities for 2014 conference call. We would like to turn the call to Mr. Ryan Morcombe. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcombe.
Thank you, operator. Welcome, everyone, for joining us this morning on our first quarter summary and conference call. And what we're going to look at today is basically run through where we've seen the markets here in the past 3 months and look at where we are today and a bit of the outlook going forward in today's environment. Going back to really what the market started at the beginning of the year, through the end of last year in 2013, we had a great run in the market, I guess, that was for the most part uninterrupted. That momentum carried through certainly into the first part of 2014. And that came to pretty much an end there, I guess, in the middle of January, where at that point in time we saw the markets finally take a bit of a breather, something that I think everyone was waiting for some time. And we saw a bit of a pullback at that point. Through probably the early part of February, we see the markets rebound again to some degree, but a bit more choppiness, but positive overall. And into March, where, again, we saw positive returns throughout the month. And then we had the geopolitical issues, I guess, between Russia and Ukraine, and that certainly set the markets for a bit of a setback through that just few weeks in particular, and since that time, of course, as the events have kind of unfolded, markets have reacted accordingly. Those kind of events impact, you know, issues like pricing of gold and so on, when people run for cover and that kind of thing. But as a whole, we've seen pretty good gains throughout this this quarter as well, and that that reflection is seen in the returns in both equities. And to some degree in the fixed income market as well. Where we've seen the markets perform in particular is when we look at it, I guess, from a geographic standpoint. What's led a bit of this run in the market to date so far has been Canada, and more so, I guess, the resource side of the market in Canada. And I don't know if it's... I wouldn't say it's so much more that Canada is performing that much better than anywhere else in the globe. I think it's more of a function of a bit of a catch-up, because Canada has been one of those lagging markets over the last couple or number of years, and I think this is just playing a bit of catch-up for our Canadian market. But it has led the way for the current gains. We've also seen gains in other regions, more so of those geographic areas that have not been really tied into the quantitative easing programs that have been out there. So when we look at some of those detractors of the market, that's where we've seen the U.S. pull back to some degree. Japan, both of those nations which have massive quantitative easing programs out there. With that tapering program that has gone on, that's caused a bit of not necessarily fear in the market, but I guess of pulling some of the gains off those markets in the U.S. and Japan. China was also another bit of a slowdown or detractor to performance this past quarter, and that was solely based on concerns of a slowing Chinese economy. Keep in mind, of course, that even a slowing economy in China is still massive growth in comparison to our Western economies. But any signs of a slowdown, of course, and it had an impact on the markets as well. What added to the performance through various sectors, again, energy and materials were ones that led in Canada. When we look at more of the international markets, utilities, healthcare, you know, healthcare was actually one of the markets that led the way in the U.S., And certainly some of that would be maybe placed on the Obamacare program and where you see a kind of a changing dynamics in the medical system down there. What detracted again from performance, for the most part, it's been the consumer discretionary kind of markets where, again, consumers are one of the groups that still have not spread out to go and gone towards the spending and the and that type of activity in the market as they had in the past. Consumers are still in kind of a sheltered mode, I suppose, in the sense of you know, concerning themselves more on savings and paying down debt, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But they don't add to the economy at this point in time like they had in the years previous. So that's where we're looking at some of the particulars in what's led this market in this past 3 months. When we look at where inflation is at currently, we still see inflation as a whole as, I guess, in the bottom threshold or bottom ranges of what central banks around the world are happy with. And I know for many of us that's kind of hard to see because we see prices run up, it seems, uninterrupted all the time. And I just want to expand on the inflation side of things a little bit and just to make sure everyone's aware. Inflation is obviously measured in a couple different ways. And first off, inflation as a whole, what they typically report would be core inflation, which would exclude some of the volatile items like food or gasoline. That might not make sense, but there's some rationale, I guess, behind that metric and the way they use it. We also have to keep in mind that inflation, and especially here in Canada, of course, is stated as a national number. And I can certainly say that when we look at the numbers here in Alberta in particular, maybe Saskatchewan to some degree, we've always had, well, not almost always, but most often we've had a higher rate of inflation provincially than what the national number always is. And so that's why we maybe see a bit more price increases than we do elsewhere. And there's a couple of reasons for that, because there's a, when you look at inflation as a whole, there's really three main things that drive that. There's a couple economic factors that impact inflation. First and foremost is employment. And when you have a higher employment rate and you have really that the employees really are price takers when it comes to wages, that does nothing to help run inflation up. And we're still in that environment. When you look at capacity of an economy, typically we're seeing probably, well, for an example, if the economy is running at 85% of capacity, essentially that means that they can increase production or increase the volume of their manufacturing without having to reinvest any significant amounts in their own technology or infrastructure and so on. So that until they reach capacity, again, there's not much incentive to drive inflation. And so that's why we've probably seen a bit more inflation here in Alberta, because there's been a tighter labor market. We've been running more at full capacity than other regions of the country and globe. And finally, the main driver of inflation is the flow of money in the economy. And this is where I know we've said often in the past that the amount of printing of money, the stimulus that's being added by the Federal Reserve Bank in the U.S., in Europe, in Japan, printing of money at some point does cause inflation to run. The problem is that you can print all the money you want, but if that money isn't flowing through the economy, if every dollar bill isn't being passed back and forth between consumer and bank and corporation and consumer and bank and corporation, it won't create any inflation. You can imagine it as yourself trying to build a campfire and you keep adding wood to the pile. Well, if you can't find an ignition, if you can't find a match, well, there is no campfire. All it is a big pile of wood. And that's what these central banks have in the economy. They have printed huge amounts of money. There's a big pile of money that they've added into the economy. But getting that money to flow from bank to consumer to corporation and back and forth just hasn't happened to the degree they've wanted. And until that happens, you're not going to see inflation increase that dramatically. It is improving bit by bit, but we haven't seen that big inflation run up at this point. What does that mean for interest rates? Well, high inflation is one cause for interest rates to rise. Well, that's not existent at this point. To put a lid on an economy growing too fast, too quickly, or too excessively is another reason for increasing interest rates. Well, that isn't happening either. Economic growth in Canada, U.S., Europe is improving, but it's a slow improvement. So at this point, there's really no impetus to see a reason why interest rates would rise at this point in time. And so right now, I don't think there's any expectation of a rate increase in Canada or the U.S. For the remainder of 2014. And certainly if things, the economy as a whole keeps improving, then yes, you would expect by 2015, we could probably see a first signs of interest rates starting to move. And when that does happen, I don't imagine either central banks want to shock the economy. So any rate increases I would expect would be nominal and probably steady, just on a more regular, consistent basis, allowing the economy to absorb those in rate increases marginally and a bit at a time. On where we see the dollar at this point, I mean, the dollar has been here in Canada basically tied around that 90-cent mark. At this point, I don't really see it moving dramatically in either direction. Certainly positive news to the Canadian economy could see the dollar run up to 91 or 92 cents. You know, on the negative side, you know, you could probably see it running down to 89 or 88. I don't see any significant issue or item out there that would drive the dollar in either direction at this point in time. And that's where, like I said, we've seen it pretty much stuck around the 90-cent mark, and I don't see it moving much from that at this point in time. You know, when we look at other currencies, well, Japan is still focused on depreciating their currency. And that's a method for them to try to turn their economy around. China, as they allow their currency to free float more into the global economy, the expectation is it'll continue to appreciate against other currencies. And for the euro, well, you know, I think a lot of that's going to depend on, again, those geopolitical issues that happen there. And that obviously can change by the hour or by the day based on what happens in Russia, Ukraine. On the commodity front, we've, you know, I think the primary one that everyone looks at is gold first and foremost. We've seen gold, you know, probably through the last year, bottom out at towards that $1,200 an ounce mark. It's been, you know, sitting at $1,300 plus a little bit here through most of this year. And like I said, we had seen a little bit of run-up on gold through the initial onset of the Russia-Ukraine crisis. That's typical when an event like that happens. But as things have settled down there to some degree, I mean, the gold has settled back accordingly. Gold, again, is not really an investment per se. It doesn't pay an interest, doesn't pay a dividend. It is a trading asset. So at this point, you know, there's probably a bit more upside to gold than a downside to it. Not that there's great value in it, just in the sense that performance in gold last year was, well, quite frankly, horrible. And certainly is a long ways off from its peak back in 2011. So again, other than that, there's not much, I think, there to see gold move in either direction. For other metals, we've seen base metals be softer through most of this year. Copper in particular, which is the main barometer, I guess, if you want to look at the global economy, that's always a good one to evaluate and see if it's lower prices in copper, well, then it's a slower economy. Vice versa, if it's a positive economy. When we look at more of our local commodities and grains, we've seen grains actually improve quite a bit here this past spring. Not quite, I don't think, to the peaks of the last year or 2 years prior, but far better than they were in midwinter. And I know talking to a number of people out in the countryside, there was a lot of sour moods, I guess, in regards to the feeling that commodities were, well, they had dropped so significantly in regards to canola, wheat, and so on. But again, as of now, we've seen them come up a little bit and much more profitable, I think, for our farmer clients. Cattle, of course, as well, has been up a fair bit here this past spring and, again, making everyone feel a bit more comfortable. For the outlook going forward, I think, you know, at this point in time, we're still in a bullish market. And equities at this point are still the favorable asset class going forward at this point in time. But I would caution that with a couple things. First off, I think it is more of a selective market. Again, Canada being a bit more positive than other regions is probably a focus of our managers more so than it has been in the past few years. You know, again, you know, having pockets of a softer economy in China and Europe, but although within Europe you got strong economies like Germany and the UK and so on. And so those are where the opportunities are going to lie. We looked at the fixed income market, so interest-bearing investments. Again, it's probably the government bond market or sector that is least favorable at this time, and we've seen a reduction to that allocation. And there's probably been a better or greater focus on the global bond market, global high yield, and high yield market in particular, which is more of a corporate bond environment. Those typically are going to pay a higher yield. Default rates are extremely low right now. And so that's where they're finding the probably the opportunities in the fixed income side. And all of that would happen within the developed economies. And I know one thing they've shied away from in the fixed income side is probably the emerging market portion. That market there on the bond side, there I know is a shying away from. Yet they would still buy some of those emerging market equities. So that's where, when we look at the various mandates that we've looked or we hold within our clients' portfolios, we have seen the tactical mandates reduce their U.S. exposure and had overweighted Canada to some degree and had more of a focus on the high-yield bond market. And so, like I said, within the context of where this market is headed, there is probably a bit more neutrality in the sense of what everyone's seeing out there. And neutral in the sense that, you know, there's some concern of the markets maybe being overextended. And I would say there's probably not so much of an overextension as there are currently more of a fair market value environment. And the way to get returns out of that is by selecting the appropriate securities. And that is what we've seen our money managers do is focus on the individual selection of the certain stocks, bonds, et cetera, whether it's geographic region, whether it's by sector. And that's where the opportunities are lying. And it's a much different environment than what we had in 2013, which in 2013, for the most part, it was a general increase within the markets across the board. It was hard to make a wrong pick. Well, I don't see that going forward here in 2014. We had a bit of that momentum carry into the first part of the year, but since then it has certainly become more of a stock and income pickers type of market, and that is what we're seeing at this point in time. Like I said, the opportunities are still out there, but it's more on the quality of the pick, and so that's where we're at here today. If you certainly have any questions for Perry or myself, we're both here in the office, so we're welcome to take any of your calls. And beyond that, if you have, you know, want to listen to this broadcast again, we are going to be posting these conference calls on our website probably within about a week's time. And so if you need to listen to it again or you need a friend you want to listen to it with it as well at the same time, you're more than welcome to search our website there, and we'll probably send a link out for that as well later on. So once again, thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope to talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.